May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A simple yes would have saved him. Martin Luther was standing before the most powerful ruler on the face of the earth. His name was Charles. He was king of Spain, plus its new expanding empire, thanks to some eager explorers. He was king of Naples, Sicily. He was Duke of Brandenburg. He was next in line for Austria-Hungary. And now he had been crowned Charles V, Holy Roman Emperor, adding Germany to his list of territories. His throne sat over most of Europe and a good chunk of the New World. And he was sick of the religious unrest that had been going on in Germany and the areas around that because of this new teaching. And so he was working together with the Pope, actually probably a little more powerful than Charles in that day, based on his influence he had on over just about all the world rulers. Their interests overlapped in this Martin Luther thing. So they cordially invited Martin Luther to a meeting at Worms, Germany, where they were going to deal with this issue once and for all. Now, the Pope had already declared Luther a heretic and had given him 60 days to retract the things that he had said about some of the teachings and practices of the church and how he had thought they were disagreeing with God's word. But Luther wanted to have a debate about it. That's why he started this whole thing. He wanted to talk about it, to get back to the truth of the word. And so he didn't retract anything until they had the chance for this meeting. Well, the Pope got sick of waiting, and so in January of 1521, he excommunicated Martin Luther, meaning he declared him outside of the church and outside of salvation. Now he just needed to find a way to get him outside of the land of the living. So, they called the Diet of Worms, this meeting to deal with the issue. And the emperor, whose meeting it officially was, he had some political complications, so he had to be careful how he handled all of this. So he offered to Martin Luther the emperor's safe conduct. He had 21 days where the emperor guaranteed no one would touch him. That way he could get to the meeting, be there, and presumably get back safely. And so standing there at that meeting with the most powerful people in the world, in a politically supercharged environment that his days at a monk had not prepared him for, with his life literally on the line, Luther was forced to make an answer. They asked him two questions. He had wanted a discussion, a debate, to talk about these teachings, but all he got was two questions. Yes or no? Are these your books? And will you recant? Will you take back everything you have said? And they didn't want to wait. With all that power in his face, he had to answer. What would you have done? Or what will you do? When it's your turn to make an answer, will you be ready? Maybe we should start by talking about how we've done in the past. How have you done in the past when something needed to be said? And here I'm not talking about something needed to be said because you're angry or because you're standing up for your rights. I'm talking about when something needs to be said for the good of others or for the good of the truth. How have you done at saying it? In school, when the kid was getting picked on, were you the one who stood up and defended that kid, risking taking the bully's wrath yourself? Or did you sometimes say, it's best if I stay out of this one? At work, when the not-so-ethical thing went down, Were you able to stand up for the truth there? Or did you kind of have to protect your job a little bit? When the coworker who's not there is being talked about and criticized, did you jump in and defend their honor or add fuel to the fire? Are you the one that would find the good when everybody else saw bad, or was it sometimes vice versa? I'm guessing you probably have kind of a mixed record on that, right? Sometimes you nailed it. Sometimes you did a great job. You said what needed to be said. You said what was given to you when it needed to be said, and it was a beautiful thing, but other times you weren't ready. You didn't speak for God. You didn't speak for good. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus gives us all sorts of reason to be ready. He says, look at the world you're living in. Our text comes from a discussion Jesus was having with his disciples. They were on the Mount of Olives, that hill overlooking Jerusalem, where the temple was right there in front of you. And Jesus had made the comment that that temple and everything they saw was going to be destroyed, not one stone left on another. And so they brought that up and they asked, Lord, when's this going to happen? What are the signs of the end? And you've heard that list before, right? You see it in our text. He says there will be false prophets. You know, even people claiming to be the Christ. Well, a quick Wikipedia search, and you can find pages of people who have or are living claiming to be the Messiah. From David Koresh to David Shaler, from Sergei Topov to Jose Luis de Jesus, that guy in Miami that also claims to be the Antichrist. So false Christs, yes, check. Right? Wars and rumors of war. My goodness, I can say certain place names in our world and you'd have a hard time thinking of anything but war, right? Iran, Afghanistan, Syria. How about earthquakes? Ask the people of the Philippines or Vanita Island or Hollister, California. They could testify. Famines? Yemen? South Sudan? The list goes on. We're seeing it. All around us in our world, we are seeing these signs. And then notice the last one he's put on the list. Look at verse 10. He says, the gospel must first be preached to all nations. As all that upheaval is happening, Jesus is using it to get the gospel out. Actually, he's using you to get the gospel out as all of the turmoil and unrest in our world is going on. And notice, Jesus doesn't mince any words. He warns believers that, yes, you will be on the painful end of some of that turmoil. Look at what he says. You'll be handed over, flogged, put on trial, but it's all happening so that you can be what he calls you at the end of verse 9, witnesses to them. And no, we might not be in Nigeria with Boko Haram's gun to our head asking us what we think of Jesus. We might not be in North Korea having been arrested and put on trial for being a Christian and asked to what we had to say. But you have been and will be given opportunities to testify. To say what's given you when it needs to be said. Today I want to challenge you to see more of those times when it needs to be said. To see those opportunities that God puts in your life. I mean, think about it. The death of a loved one, a friend, a relative. The people around you care, right? They're coming to support you and they are listening. Will they hear a gospel testimony of the victory over death that Christ has won for you? Or how about a sickness or a setback in your life? Your friends care about you. They want to help. They want to be there for you. Will they see a gospel witness of the truth that you know that lies behind whatever situation you're in? of Jesus' love and his power for you? Or how about the persecution? When you actually do get picked on for your faith, get looked down on because of what you believe, don't be mistaken. Those people who are giving you a hard time, they're watching. They're listening to what you say because they want more ammunition for their narrative about Christians. Look, there he is, always angry. There she goes, judging again. Will they instead see gospel love instead of frustration? Will they hear that gospel truth instead of hatred? You will be given opportunities to say what's given you when it needs to be said. And the best part of it is what Jesus says next. When you are on the spot, when it's your turn to answer, he says you're not alone. In fact, it's not really even about you at all at that point. When the time is there for you to speak, it's God who gives you what to speak. Look at verse 11. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Don't worry. Even in front of hostility, don't worry about what to say. Let the Holy Spirit speak for you. Let your faith speak for you. Now, don't misunderstand. He's not saying don't be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. In fact, God's word says exactly that. Be prepared in season and out of season. Preach the word. You see, he's not saying just wing it. He's saying don't worry about it. There's a huge difference there, right? And actually, that's one of the enduring legacies of the Reformation. Giving people the word. The gift that the Holy Spirit uses to give you what to say when the time's come for you to say what's given you to say. I said before that a simple yes would have saved him. Right, Martin Luther, will you recant? Yes? Okay, great. We're done here. Case closed, you can go home. But of course, he didn't recant. He couldn't recant. He could not take back what he had said because what he had said was what the Word of God says. And so he didn't recant, he recounted the truth of the gospel. And so the rulers that be, the powers that be in the world, decided it was time to seal his fate. At least they thought they sealed his fate, and they placed him under the ban. So in other words, when his safe passage was done, when those 21 days were out, he was dead. Let me read for you the verdict that they passed. And this was in the form of a command to all of the citizens of the empire. If you wanted to be a loyal citizen of the Holy Roman Empire, wherever you find or meet or are able to seize him, Luther, make sure to make him your prisoner. Send him to us under guard. They literally deputized the entire empire to get Luther and bring him to them. And if he was dead when you brought him, they made it clear that wasn't too big of a deal. That wasn't a problem at all. That's what it meant that Luther was placed under the ban. And that's what Luther took on when he said what needed to be said when it needed to be said. And maybe you know the story. On his way home, as the last days of that safe conduct were ticking off, his local governor, the Elector Frederick, had him arrested, had him kidnapped, actually, and taken to a castle where no one would know where he was, where he could hide out so that some of this might be able to blow over. And what did he do while he was there at Coburg? He translated the Bible into the language of the people so that the people could have the word, so that they could have what God had given them to say, so that they could be prepared when it came time for them to answer. And when he got out of the Coburg, well, he worked on writing his catechisms so that people could teach each other the truth of what God's word teaches. He preached countless sermons to thousands upon thousands of people. And think about it. Every time he was preaching to a cathedral packed with people, every one of those people had been given the task and duty by the emperor to arrest him. And yet he did it. Because he wanted to help us be prepared. So that we could have what to say when the time came for us to say it. The signs of the end are all around us. The time is coming. Will you be ready? Will you be ready to give your answer? Will you be ready for the Holy Spirit to speak through you? Will you be ready to testify to your faith? Has God's word been that implanted in you that when the stakes are the highest, you'll be able to give a testimony about, well, first of all, your own sin, your failures that deserved God's wrath, but then God's love and Jesus' sacrifice to pay for your sin? He's given you the words. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. He has given you the words to say. Now may God give you the strength to say them. In Christ, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.